Praise God. We have been on a journey in the month of January. We've been talking about the subject True North, following God's plan for your life. And we've been learning about a lot of things. We talked about apostolos sent up from God, the beginning of wisdom being yielded to God, part one, part two. And then we started talking about purpose algorithm, and then we began to talk about discovering your assignment. And then we explained the difference between purpose, assignment, and destiny. And then the emphasis of Sunday was showing us how to discover your assignment. And I just want to say some things to why we have to talk about assignments. And there are some thoughts I want us to consider before I complete the different ways for you to discover your assignment. Praise the Lord. So the first thought I want to share with you is that purpose gives birth to assignment. Your purpose is greater than your assignment and not the other way around. Do you get me? So, even though God wanted man to know him in Christ, the creation was given to man to cultivate. So, what I'm trying to show is that our knowledge of God in Christ Jesus and our depth in God is of a greater importance to whatever assignment we are doing on the earth. The assignment we are doing on the earth is supposed to be an offshoot of our purpose. So there is a greater assignment we are here for, to know the Lord and to make him known. And that forms the base of all that we do. And then it guides us into our assignment. So whether you are a doctor, you are a pastor, you are a teacher, and whatever the Lord has committed to your hand, that is an offshoot of purpose. So purpose bets assignment and not the other way around. The reason why I'm saying this also is because there are some people who, let me put it like this, they try to use assignment to replace purpose. But you see, assignment is for purpose. You know, there's a false teaching that people say your business is your ministry, your career is your ministry. Well, it depends on how you are carrying out that business or career. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Let me explain. So, I don't know if you have heard of this term, they say marketplace apostles. Marketplace apostles. Now, if you are a marketplace apostle, or if you claim to be a marketplace apostle, and you don't preach Jesus, you don't draw men to know God, and you are just doing business, and you say, I'm a marketplace apostle, and you are just doing business, you don't talk to anybody about Christ, you don't fund the kingdom, God is not heavy on your heart, but you just feel like, I found my assignment in the business world. You're not an apostle. That apostle should not be there. Just say you are a businessman or a businesswoman. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, your assignment does not replace purpose. Your assignment does not replace the gospel. Your assignment should fuel purpose. Do you get me? Your assignment should fuel your purpose of knowing God and making him known. Are you getting me? And on Sunday, we explained the difference between an assignment and a career. We said an assignment is what you have been given from God as a job to do, a task from God with a conviction that this will fuel knowing Christ and making him known and making God proud. So you can see someone who has a job, are you with me, but has an assignment to mentor young boys. And so his job gives him funding to impact the lives of those young guys and all of that. But God can also say your job will be the platform for your assignment. Maybe God has given someone an assignment to reach out to corporate business leaders and preach to them the gospel. So his job and his career platform is now a stage that opens him to doors where he can meet people of influence and bring them into Christ. So you see, he cannot take that job lightly. He has to be good on his job. For him to have, for them to listen to him, he has to be sound on his job. He has to be good on the job. Are you with me? To be able to reach out and get men to know Christ and make Christ known. Praise the Lord. The second point I want to emphasize before I go into other ways to discover your assignment is the fact that work is part of God's plan. So, in as much as we are made in the image and likeness of God, to know God, to make Him known, God has a nature, an attribute where He wants to see beauty in His creation. And remember, if you follow their teaching, Apostolos, we said you were sent to know God, you were sent to manifest God, you were sent to make an impact, and you were sent to make a difference. God believes that your life must both make an impact and make a difference. And that will not happen without a specific assignment, a dutiful arrangement of work that you have to do. All beauty requires effort. Are you with me? So, if we are made in the image and likeness of God, we are going to manifest that nature of God. See, from the opening pages of the Bible, we are welcomed to a God that believes in effort. A God who is given to working. Are you with me? A God who is given to an assignment. So, you see, the Bible says, and God rested. That tells you that already we have a ratio of work to rest. God worked for 6 days and rested on 1 day. So that means rest cannot be beautiful until work has been done. Rest cannot be beautiful until it is preceded by work. You know, see, that God resting after work shows us a pattern. That a man cannot truly find rest until after diligent work. Many people want, I wrote something here, many people want a quick fix life. Things already set. Get up, work, and you will find rest. God's ultimate plan for our lives is spiritual. To know Christ and to make Him known. But this does not excuse us from basic responsibilities of life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, all I've been saying thus far is our purpose is to know Christ, to make Him known, to live for Him with our lives. But there must be a platform of dutiful work where you exert yourself on a daily basis so that you can make impact to your world, make a difference, and be well equipped for the gospel. Do you get what I just said? So, our purpose in life is to know Christ and make Him known, but there must be a platform of dutiful labor where we exert ourselves both to make an impact, make a difference, and be comfortable enough to make impact for the gospel. And in fact, many times it can be the platform for us to make impact for the gospel, which is to make men to know God and to make Him known. Amen? Amen. So, on Sunday, we began to talk about how do you know this assignment that you've been given to by God. We said, number one, the concept of the true light, or you can put quote unquote the leading of the Spirit, where God leads you into a particular assignment, where God shows you that this is where I want you to serve, this is where I want you to exert yourself, this is going to be your task. And we use the example of Moses. The Bible says when Moses turned aside to see the great sight, then God spoke out of the midst of the bush when God saw that he was responding. Are you with me? And then we talked about, so after the true light, we talked about the strategy of passion and zeal, where we said when you are not born again, you cannot trust your passions, you cannot trust your zeal. But when you get born again, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So by the time you are born again, God can begin to work on your zeal, work on your passion to make you fulfill your assignment. So, as a Christian, you have to pay attention to your inward man and discover where is God giving you passion towards. What are the things that he has put is a zeal of God in your heart? And for those who have multiple passions or multiple zeals, as it were, if you give yourself to prayer, you will know what particular passion God wants you to deploy per time. You will know where he wants you to exert yourself at a certain time or at a given time. And if you pray about it and you are seeking God about it, soon what God wants you to pay attention to will be clear, and what God wants you to ignore will be clear. And then we talk about the third way to know your assignment. Just start by being faithful to what is in front of you. If you are faithful to what is in front of you, God will see your faithfulness and guide you into where he wants you to be fully focused on as your assignment. We looked at the example of David. We look at the example of Moses. Moses was faithful with keeping the sheep, and God staged an encounter for him at the backside of the wilderness. Are you with me? David was faithful with the sheep, and that was where God located him. And then he was faithful with serving his father. His father sent him. You can imagine if David was anointed king of Israel and his father sent him, go and give your brothers food. And he said, no, daddy, please. And not knowing that by the time he refused that opportunity for service, he was also losing the opportunity to step into destiny. Can you imagine? He did not know. God did not tell him that you are going to kill Goliath. All he needed to do was just serve. And by the time he got there, God had orchestrated something to stir up a zeal within him that will guide him into his destiny. I pray for you. You respond to divine opportunities for your destiny in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, I'm going to explain three other ways. So, we've just said, God will lead you to your assignments by the true light or the leading of the Spirit. God will lead you to your assignments by the strategy of passion and zeal. God will lead you to your assignments by faithfulness to the present. But now I want to expose three other ways that God can lead you to your assignment. Number one, observation. Observation. Sometimes you just need to pay attention to yourself. You need to watch the trends and patterns in your life. When you watch the trends and patterns in your life, God might be trying to say something. Especially when you have a heart that is seeking, you say, Lord, help me discover my assignment. And you begin to ask the Lord, show me. And then he can show you a pattern and a trend. For instance, there are some people, they don't need anybody to tell them that they are called into ministry. From the day they were born, it is written all over them. It is written all over them that you are a man of God. You. Are you with me? For instance, a person like Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, you don't understand. His great grandfather was a man of God. His grand uncle brought Assemblies of God to Nigeria. And somebody said something jokingly. I don't know whether it is biblically correct. The person said, when your own parents were still serving Shango, he has, you know what they call people that have generations of wealth? You know those families that their great-grandfather, like someone like Dangote, that his great-grandfather was a billionaire, his own grandfather, his father was a billionaire. By the time he's coming, when they tell you that I started from nothing, you want to punch them. You want to punch them. Like Donald Trump was saying, I had nothing. My father just gave me $1 million to start. And Donald Trump was saying this as a serious grass to grace story. Somebody just felt, if I can put my hand in the screen and slap you. In the same way, there are people like that. That they have a legacy with God. And God just called one of their children and say, you. So, but before you are even 20, you know. For instance, a person like me that my father was already a missionary as far back as 1988. Let me not go into that. So, sometimes observation. There are some of you, the way your life is structured, you know that you will have something to do with the government. You cannot run. Your life, no matter how you want, the observation, you just look at your life and say, this is the track God is carrying me on. And For many of you, God already gave you the passion. You already have the zeal. You already have the drive. You already, some of you, you know that if you don't do it, if you live your life and you don't do something with music, you are a failure. You know that if you don't do something with music, some of you, it is ministry. Some of you, it's business. You know that if you don't start business, if you don't build a business with your life, are you with me? So by observation, you can begin to see the path that God is carrying you on. You know, sometimes people are they are not proud of their uniqueness. They are not proud of their uniqueness. They always want to be like somebody else. They always want to preach like somebody else. They want to talk like somebody else. They want to dress like somebody else. They want their nose to be like somebody else. But you see, you are you. Are you getting me? This is not the motivational class, but I'm just trying to show you something. Now, some of you, you know that the place that God has killed you in is cooking. Cooking, cooking. But you know, you say you want to be a telecoms expert. You know, after you have gone around, you will come back. You will still come back to this cooking of a thing. Are you with me? So, when you observe, so if you look at the life of Moses, even before God called him to deliver Israel, was a deliverer. Remember, in Exodus chapter 2, let me check it. Exodus 2, yes, from verse 15, you will see Moses was the one that went to deliver his people and killed an Egyptian. Killed an Egyptian to deliver his people. And then Pharaoh heard and wanted to kill Moses, and Moses ran away. I know I've seen people say that Moses missed God. Moses missed God. That's why he was not able to face Pharaoh, that he shouldn't have killed the Egyptian. It was his anger. I want to ask you a question. When the plagues of Egypt came, are you telling me that Egyptians did not die? So it was, God was showing a pattern. By the time Moses got to the land of Midian, where he met Jethro, who eventually became his father-in-law, Moses saw Jethro's daughters being ill-treated at the well. Moses rescued them again. That was how he got to know Jethro and eventually saw Zipporah. So that passion to deliver people from oppression had been there. Maybe it was because of the things he saw in Egypt that stirred up a passion to deliver people from oppression. And so by observation, he saw there are some of you, you know your destiny is tech. Your assignment to be in tech is there. Someone like, okay, sorry to blow a cover. Someone like one of our sisters in our Abuja church. Ha. From when I've known that lady, in the university, we are going to read for test. This lady is doing a tech research. One day I called her, I said, come, are you sure you want to pass like this? So, because the way you love this tech, as in, let me explain to you. As far back as 2010, she was already telling me about artificial intelligence. Most of the things that are happening now, she, as far back as 2010, she has started telling me about IoT, Internet of Things, as at then. And so, as God distributes these peculiarities to each one of us, when he looks at us, he sees the multidimensional manifestation of himself. Are you with me? Some of you, you are obsessed about clothes. You know that you have a thing to do with fashion. You have a thing to do. So begin to build yourself in that line. Discover your assignment in that line. And that takes me to the next thing. Training and exposure. Training and exposure. So, contrary to what many people think, your training and exposure can and will eventually affect what you do to make you effective for humanity and aid you in the spread of the gospel. Your training and exposure will affect your assignment. So for instance, let's say God has put in you this drive to be somebody who is tech driven, and you are in the village, and the best technology that you had was a catapult, and maybe they know you to, you know how to cut firewood very well, you know how to do some of those, you know how to do some technical things in the village. You can put kite and find small moto, and by the time you put moto with the kite, all your friends will be clapping. Wow, he's making something to fly. Then God now picks you up from there. Now, picks you, somebody sees what you do, picks you and sends you to Harvard University or Massachusetts Institute of Technology in the United States. I am telling you, give the boy, leave, give the boy that was in the village 25 years, give the other person in Harvard or in Massachusetts 25 years. What do you think will become of them? The distance, the gap between them will be like heaven to earth, because somebody's training and exposure has refined his assignment, refined his gift. Are you with me? So when you discover that you have a prompting, or you discover you have an inclination towards a certain line, expose yourself for better training. You may even discover a path. Maybe that boy now goes to Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and God now directs him to focus on aerodynamics. And then he becomes a pilot, or maybe he now graduates from there and decides that I'm going to build a plane manufacturing company. You see, his assignment now has become refined, and he's better positioned to make impact both in the gospel and for humanity. Are you with me? When you find that God has given me this drive towards a particular direction, go for training, go for exposure. Now, I want to ask you a question. I thought this last year. David was a slinger, right? And he used his sling to kill Goliath. And when he was given a shield, and Saul gave him a shield and a spear, he couldn't fight Goliath with that. Do you realize that after David killed Goliath with his sling, eventually David was not using sling anymore when he became part of Saul's army? When David now eventually was absorbed into Saul's army, he began to use a sword. He began to use a shield. All the wars David was fighting throughout, do you think he was still using a shield and a sword? Do you think he was still using a sling? He was using a shield and a sword. The very things he said, I have not tried them, he began to use them. So he got trained, he got exposed, and he got him better prepared for his assignment. You see, now he was, some years later, he became king. He had to be the one that will lead Israel to war. You can imagine all the other kings are coming with chariots and their shield and their sword. David is still with sling. So your training and exposure will help you. Are you following me? Well, your assignment was to take care of Israel, was to be king. What took him to Solis? Playing of the harp. What took him to killing Goliath? Taking care of sheep and being obedient to his father. Lord, this year, every one of us steps into the platform of our destiny in the name of Jesus. Everyone who has not yet located that place, that niche of destiny, Lord, we are carried into it. We are carried into it. We are carried into it. Oh, Sarabedege Peletekelia. We are carried into it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you.